Like I said, we're going to have a treat today. Jake's not here, and so you always know it's an amazing person when they have 12 hours to prepare a sermon and someone to say yes to that. Has to be a special person, and this is a special person. Justin, why don't you come on up? This is Justin Roberts. The thing I love about Justin is he's a ground layer. He's actually a church planter. He's planting a church in South KC called Neighbors Church. And it takes a special anointing, it takes a special gift to do that. It takes a special passion and steadfastness in the gospel. So I already love this guy. And Jake has partnered with him in a different ways and grown a relationship. So I love this guy already. I'm excited what he has to say. I'm gonna pray for him here and we're gonna go from there. Lord, thanks for Justin. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his heart for Kansas City, Jesus. Anybody, Lord, that loves KC, Lord, is a friend of ours. Thank you for that, God. Fill him up, Lord. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing in the kingdom of God through this man, Lord, and through the word that he preaches today. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. So good to be here. I heard someone earlier say, did Pastor Jake get some tattoos, you know? He did not. I love Pastor Jake. He is such a godly man. He's prayed over me and our church and my spouse and our kids. And so you have such an amazing pastor. And so, yeah, give him a round of applause. Yes. Yes. So my encouragement to you is just to continue to pray for him, continue to pray for his family, because God is going to do amazing things through Maywood. I felt it here, the worship, the baptisms. You can feel that God has his hand over this church. And so keep doing what you're doing. Keep pressing into the Lord. The greatest things are ahead for this church. So like Daniel said, I am a church planner. We are starting a church called Neighbors Church in the neighborhood of Marlboro. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's Marlboro. It's east of Waldo. We live off of 81st Terrace in Troost, and we moved there and just instantly loved our neighbors. And so we wanted to call it a neighbor's church, you know, because I feel like God has called us to love our neighbors, right? And ever since then, we've just been meeting with our neighbors, inviting them over, loving on them. And so that's what God has called my wife and I to do. And we have a team of 45 people already. Praise God. It's not because of me. It's because of him, you know. Also with the church, we're going to be launching a coffee shop. And that will be open throughout the week. And it will be in Marlboro as well. And the purpose of the coffee shop will to employ those who've aged out of the foster care system. My wife and I have, yep, praise God. We have a huge heart for foster care. We adopted our son, Ezekiel, through foster care. And ever since we did that, we just love this community because they could be hurting, they can be in pain, they can be confused because of what happened, but we just wanted to provide a safe place for that community. And so if you can pray for our church and for the coffee shop as we just love our neighbors and our community, that would be great. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 17 today, so if you get your Bibles and go there. Before that, I'm going to pray for this on the service and just pray that God penetrates our hearts. If we brought anything into this room, that God can kind of go through the cracks and penetrate our hearts and draw us near to him. God, thank you for your son Jesus dying on a cross, even though we did not deserve it. We did not deserve your grace, but you freely gave it to us and chose and called us Christians, Lord. I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask a question. I want you to reflect these questions. Have you ever messed up so badly that shame completely took over? You didn't know what to do. You might even question who you even were. I have questioned that before. I think throughout life, some of those questions pop up as we make mistakes. We are walking through with someone who's going through a hard time, and we instantly think, man, does God even love me anymore? And that's shame, and that's the enemy talking to you, because that's not God, right? He has called and he has chosen us, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of the pain, he loves you. and he chooses to die for you, and he chooses to love you. In Colossians, Paul wrote his epistle to the Colossians because of a report that they were falling in serious error and sin. False teachings and practices in Colossae were influencing the saints there and threatening their faith. They were also being looked down by the Judaizers, a group who thought they were better than Christians. These Christians were falling into sin and shame. They needed guidance. I mean, when I read that, I instantly put myself in those people's shoes. There's been times where I've been in sin, and then I felt judged by maybe a different group of people. And again, that's not God putting on that. That's man putting that on us. And so Paul is writing to this group, reminding them who they are in Christ. Paul wrote this epistle during his first imprisonment in Rome around 60 AD to 62 AD. And this is pretty crazy to me. Paul was a man who used to kill Christians, and now he is in prison because he is one, right? Paul was going out killing, murdering Christians, and then God called him to become one and to spread the gospel. I think it's amazing that Paul wrote this epistle in chains in prison. It makes me reflect on my circumstances. Am I living like Paul, a man on mission, or am I letting fear, comfort, or the possibility of rejection get in the way? So let's open our Bibles again to Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Starting in verse 12, it says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." Let that sink in. You are chosen by God. You are holy. You are beloved. God loves you. Paul reminds them of who they really are in God's eyes, as a way of encouraging them to continually strive for the standard Christ has established. The Judaizers have made them feel inferior, incomplete, not worthy of God. He refers to them in three terms that were originally applied to the Jewish nation in the Old Testament, but now were applied to the Christians at Colossae and are applied today to all of us. A direct response to the false superiority claimed by the Judaizers. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, because this is where God calls Abraham to be a chosen people, right? God calls Abraham, he pulls him out and says, "You are chosen by me, you are a people called by me." He says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." I want to pause and remind someone here that you are called by God, you are loved, you are chosen, no matter the sin or shame you carry. Let that sink in, right? No matter what you did, no matter where you are in this moment, God loves you, and he wants to call you out of darkness into light as a follower of Christ. He loves you. He chooses you. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 8, "While you were still sinners, Christ died for you." Man, I love that verse because there's been times in my life where I've messed up. I wasn't maybe a good husband. I was short-tempered with my kids, and I'm like, oh, I fell short again. And as we all know, we will continue to fall short, but God in his goodness, in his graciousness, calls us out of that, and we are beloved, and he loves us over and over. Let's continue in verse 12. It says, "Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." In verse 13, "Bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Notice that he says to put on a heart. This is suggesting that these things do not come naturally. Amen, right? How many of us fall short of these things? We have to make an act of will, and we have to make an effort to be kind, to show humility, meekness, and patience. So I'm going to tell a story. We have amazing neighbors next door to us on the right side of our house. And one day I was, we have a huge tree in our backyard, and leaves were falling. And I was blowing leaves out of my driveway, like we all do. And my neighbor and I have a shared yard space. And leaves, when I was blowing them out, were blowing on the shared yard space. Technically, it was my side of the yard still, right? Technically, it was my side. My neighbor comes out and is like, hey, stop blowing leaves on my side of the yard. I got to be honest, my first reaction was not probably a reaction of Jesus. And I didn't say anything, but that was in my mind. My first reaction was like, that's my yard, you know? Like, I'm blowing a mire. It's not in your yard. But instantly, the Lord made me not say that. And I said, I'm so sorry. I will try to do better. And then I met her, you know, because I didn't really know her at that point. Her name was DJ. She has two boys, Reggie and Rico. And I could have let an awkward circumstance of meeting my neighbor like that judge her for the rest of life. You know, it could have been an easy way. Man, I am never going to talk to DJ. She's kind of a little crazy. She got mad at me for blowing leaves on her side of the yard. But instead, I let that opportunity be a moment of getting to know her and know her kids and love on them. And so I let one, and again, I'm not perfect. I share that story because that was Christ in me, right? Christ in me shows how we can love our neighbors even though it might be hard. And so even though there might be a weird circumstance or an awkward thing with your neighbor or family, put that aside and choose to love them regardless. So let's break down what Paul is calling us to do. Compassion, which is a tender feeling towards those who are suffering, who are in need. Kindness, the same tender feeling, but extended towards all, whether they are suffering or not. Humility, pagans sought the upper hand, power, and domination, but love requires Christians to recognize that they are sinful, that we are humble people, that we are not over our neighbor, but we are loved by Christ like them. Meekness, not self-willed, desiring one's way. Patience, willing to put up with suffering or trials without losing faith, love, joy, or confidence. Long-suffering, listen to this one. This is pretty interesting. Bearing with one another. What the original Greek was saying, taking on one's pain as your own. Right? I don't know if you sat in the midst of someone who was sharing their pain, but the scripture is saying taking on their pain and placing it as if we were in pain as well. That's the type of love that Christ is calling to us, is sitting there and being like, man, I might not understand what you're going through, but I'm going to try my hardest and I'm going to love and be patient and be there with you. And lastly, forgiveness, giving up the right to receive justice for a wrong doing. Let's pick up in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul in prison reminds the church how we are supposed to live peace, thankfulness, giving thanks to God in all we do. So a couple questions as we've read Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. I want you to reflect on these questions as I speak them out. How can we live this out? Maybe there's a neighbor that you don't see eye to eye with. Maybe there's a family member that whatever they do, it just pushes you over the edge, and you're like, oh, again. I think God's trying to say, be patient, you know? Even though you've been patient 1,000 times, he's saying, hey, one more time. Because let's be honest, Christ is patient with us. When we mess up over and over and over again, Christ is looking at us saying, I still love you. I still want you. I still choose you. Patience with your kids. All the parents are like, yep. Loving your family or being a good neighbor or a coworker. This is not easy. We can only live like this with Christ in us. So as I said, DJ, my neighbor, we always see Reggie and Rika now. I didn't let that awkward moment get in the way of showing Christ to this family. Single mom, 2 teenage boys. If anyone needs to know the love of God, it's this family. And so we always make opportunities to come and have them come into our house. I go to Reggie's football game and just live a life with this family, not judging them, but just showing the love of Christ in their home. Again, I don't share these stories because I have it figured out. I share these to show practical ways to love those around you, even though it might be hard. So I'm going to wrap things up. I want to pray a prayer of blessing, church. So if you can bow your heads and close your eyes. Living God, draw us deeper into your love. Jesus our Lord, send us to care and serve. Holy Spirit, make us heralds of good news. Stir us, strengthen us, teach and inspire us to live your love with generosity and joy, imagination and courage, for the sake of your world, in the name of Jesus. Amen.